Welcome to Earned Wisdom for Accomplished Female Leaders. You've done it all. You've walked the tightrope of success and accomplished so much in your career. Now what? How do you keep redefining your success and expanding your emotional well-being? Join us to hear talk on mindset, motivation, and your growth in handling the challenges you've experienced both in circumstances and with yourself as a leader. Welcome to Earned Wisdom for Accomplished Female Leaders with your host, Tracy Crossley.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Earned Wisdom for Accomplished Female Leaders. And today I have with me another accomplished female leader, and her name is Samantha Tredelius, right? I got it right. Yeah,
that's it.
Okay. I'm scoring today. All right. So anyways, let me tell you guys a little bit about her, and we will get going on this wonderful topic about all these female leadership sort of topics that, I think are light and bright in society right now. So Samantha is brutally honest. Love that. Fast moving and a supporter of all things she. Her vibrant, witty, and candid personality sparks instant relatability and connection, making it not only an entertaining but insightful episode for you guys who are listening. So listeners can tune in and hear all about how she co-founded an eight-figure insurance agency to establishing a nonprofit that has raised over $1 million to self-publishing a book celebrating women. I love that. That is wonderful. So anyways, her and I were talking, you know, before the show, and turns out I live where she grew up, which is pretty cool. I know. How often does that happen? So you're in the Bay Area, which is another wonderful place to go and live. Personally, I love it there. If I didn't live here, I'd live there. So Samantha, tell us a little bit about, you know, your beginnings, you know, like when you were younger, you know, what was your career path? Because I always ask this when I see that it's not just one thing you've done, it's several things that you've done, right? So where did all of this begin?
Great question. And thanks for having me. Yes. Kindred spirits, Thousand Oaks is where I hailed as a youngster. And that's where you are now. So good chat about that before. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't think anybody grows up as a youngster and says, I want to be in insurance when I become an adult. but that's kind of where I landed. My family was involved in the industry from an educational standpoint. And so that's kind of where I got my start in, you know, business was being a part of the family business. Cleaning down the tables and washing the bathrooms up every night and making sure that people got where they needed to go, which then kind of got me into teaching and then eventually turned into graduating college and realizing now it was time to like figure out what my life was going to be. And so I decided that I wanted to sell insurance because that was all I was ever around. So I opened up an insurance agency with my dad when I was 23, selling small personal lines. Like when I say smiling and dialing, I mean it. I was sitting in a room that was like a tiny little closet buying internet leads, selling renter's insurance. This is how I started, which then has kind of parlayed into many different things. You know, I've grown up quite a bit in the industry, and my focus is now primarily commercial risks, investment property, you know, management, all kinds of fun stuff with respect to agency ownership and the trials and tribulations of that, which is a whole nother episode. And then, of course, the nonprofit part of me and, you know, podcasting me and author me. And then, of course, there's mom me, which is a whole nother fun, you know, part of the Samantha story. So, yeah, that's kind of my what you got. It's a whole lot. I know.
No, but it's great. OK, so you decided to start an agency with your dad at 23, which is amazing. And I will say, as a former cold caller myself, there is not a lot of us out there because I, you know, when I interview salespeople for my business and they're like, well, you're going to provide all the leads, right? And it's like, holy crap, I used to go out and get my own leads. But anyways, not dissing anybody, just saying. So you were doing that.
Oh, yeah. No, that was what you did. I mean, this was 25 years ago. So, yeah, I mean, it was like right when the internet was kind of becoming a thing so that people would go online and look for quotes and then you would buy them and it'd be like $3 for a lead. And you'd literally call up John, who was living in his apartment in Santa Monica, and sell, you know, he'd be like, well, you know, I got a quote for $120. And I'd be like, but mine's so much better. And here's why, you know, and I really quickly learned, like, I was going to have to sell a lot of those types of insurance policies to make any real money make sense. And so I kind of slowly progressed into small business insurance and then, you know, kind of gravitated towards like working with women a lot more and just kind of built this book of business. And by the time I was, I'd say 26, 27 years old, I had a pretty nice size book of business. But I mean, I would sit there, you know, all hours of the week and pound the pavement and go out and hunt my food, essentially.
Right. And so to me, it sounds like, I mean, I know you were in business with your dad, but it sort of sounds like you've always established your own path. Like you just made decisions and you did them. Like you're an action taker.
Yes. Well, I always figured I was old enough to know better, but still young enough to like, if I screwed up, it was cool. So, like my dad's background was life and health insurance. And he was like, you know, he worked at Prudential and New York Life and all these kind of other markets. And so when I was kind of deciding what angle of insurance I wanted, I didn't want to sell life insurance and I didn't want to sell health insurance because to me, they were want products. They weren't like need things. So I knew if I had something you needed, you would, you know, yeah, there's somebody else that could provide the same thing, but like, why wouldn't you want to do business with me? And being a young woman in the industry was always kind of my edge because I knew I could talk the talk and, you know, fake it till I made it. And if I didn't know the answers, I would find, you know, somebody that could help me. But I think it was, you know, as much as a roadblock that was, it was also a great trampoline because it like put me in front of the types of people, women that wanted to work with other women that got what they, you know, what they needed. And so that's really how I built my business.
I love that. And so you still have this business, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So I, when I, you know, of course we, as women, I just was having this discussion with somebody else, you know, when we decide we're going to have families and do these things, then we get to make decisions about how we're going to augment our lives because, you know, that doesn't always translate to the other gender. But when it became time for family, you know, obviously somebody was going to have to move and do those things. So I ended up moving from LA to San Francisco. And that's, you know, I'd met my husband and, you know, we were married and then we just started family. And so I kind of took some of my clients that I'd had in LA and brought them up to me with San Francisco and then really relinquished the reins to my brother, who still runs the agency that my dad and I started in 2003 or four, I think it was. And so when I moved to San Francisco, then I started to kind of work with my husband a little bit more. And so he and I then kind of built up commercial coverage as an agency as what it is today. And that primarily our focus there is property. So that's where the kind of buildings and investment asset part of my, you know, risk management portfolio kind of started. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, what I still do today.
And you enjoy it?
Sometimes. Depends on the day, girl. It depends on the day. The market's hard right now. It's really hard. And it's, you know, to be still standing in an industry after all this time is, you know, a success in its own right, because the insurance, property insurance in California is bananas. And it's also just, you know, the evolution of the way insurance is, like types of products that are available. You know, 20 years ago, cyber insurance wasn't a thing, or, you know, you weren't talking about viruses as far as, you know, communicable diseases the way you are now. COVID, you know, there's so many different things that have now come up into, and you kind of constantly got to keep up with it. So it's had its challenges for sure. But yeah, I mean, today I like it. Yesterday I didn't. So it just depends on where we're at.
I love it. And so you became a female leader. Do you feel like that was something you wanted to do, or just, it's just how it all came out?
Well, I was kind of always this type of person that I was kind of a take charge gal. I don't want to say I don't take direction well, but I don't necessarily like to be kind of put into a box. And I never really had, I mean, I always worked with my family. Like I never had a real job. My only real job that I actually had somebody telling me what to do is when I was 16, I worked at Jamba Juice. That was like my first job. Mm-hmm. Other than that, I've always worked for myself or my family. And so it's interesting. So my husband always tells me, he's like, you don't take direction well. I'm like, well, no, I don't need to. Direction. which is great, but it's also really scary sometimes, because like if you don't make money, then you don't eat, or you know, you don't make enough money, you've got payroll. And so there's all these different things that like you go through these trials and tribulations. So there's goods to both sides of it, I think. But yeah, I've always been this creature of chaos.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Creature of chaos, which is meaning the other endeavors you also have, right? Like the other things, because it's not just one focus. There's more than one focus. So nonprofit, what is a nonprofit? What made you decide to start a nonprofit? Because at least in California, that's not a simple thing to do. There's usually a lot of red tape. And I think you've really got to want to do what you're going to do.
Yeah, no, it's totally, it's a big deal. And it's not a small task to take on. So about the same time when I started the agency with my father, I, you know, was 23 and I was like, I want to do something for the world. And I don't know what that is, but I'm going to start like doing some research about, you know, what I could get involved with. Well, the more I was researching, even as a young woman, I was finding that a lot of these nonprofits were not super transparent about the way they were spending their money. And I thought like, this is gross. Like if I donate $100 because it's all I have, I don't want to buy your lunch, Bruce. You know, like I want to be able to like buy toys or fund a need or something. And so after not finding what I wanted, as you know, a lot of women, female founders will do, like we just created our own. And so Sparkle was born, you know, not as an official nonprofit until 2016, but I started gifting and doing back in 2003. So I'm coming up on my 20th year this year, actually, of doing what I've been doing. And as the program grew and grew, it became apparent that forming a nonprofit was probably like becoming a little bit more legit would be, you know, in my best interest. So I did it, formed a board, got my bylaws, got my budget, had no idea what I was doing and took off running. And 7 years later, we have served over 10,000 lives. Our focus is single moms and their children. We're all over California. We have three consistent locations, Bay Area, LA, and also Sacramento. And we do three things. We do our holiday gift drive, which is what I started doing. We do our enrichment programs, which is scholarships for extracurricular, you know, after school sports, etc. And also backpacks in the fall, which this year we're going to be doing 5,000 backpacks. Last year we did 4,000.
Wow.
And then most recently we opened up Sparkle Biz in 2021, which is our micro lending program for single moms that want to start or grow their business. We funded our first one. We're just about ready to launch and look for our next recipient. So
that is really interesting to me because I'm an idea person. I'm an entrepreneur from childhood. And I say that because I come up with new ideas every other day, but just throwing that out there. But earlier this year, I was talking to people because I thought I'd like to start a nonprofit that actually does micro lending for women over the age of 50 who want to start their own business. But somebody said to me that micro lending really isn't that helpful in getting people off the ground with business. And so I bootstrapped it. So I have like no point of if somebody would given me money, I probably would have been, okay, thank you. Hallelujah. But I didn't need it to start my business. But obviously, what is your take on that? Hello? Uh-oh, frozen. Can you hear me? Hello? Oh boy. Oh. Hi. Okay, Dave, this is going to need to get cut. This whole part will need to be cut. Cut, 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 cut. Nope, it's not for you. We need to cut this part out. Lay down.
There okay. I am. I don't know what happened. My internet just went boop.
Oh my gosh. Now I understand. Okay. So I was making all sorts of noise. Thank God my husband edits this. So, cause it's still recording. So what we'll do is, I know I was talking about the nonprofit and I was saying how, I, at the beginning of this year, had basically thought of a micro lending for female entrepreneurs or females who were, you know, looking to change out of, let's say, corporate and do their own thing over the age of 50, because I feel like that's 27% of the population. But also, you know, I never ever got lending or anything when I started my business. So, you know, someone told me, well, micro lending isn't really that helpful. And so I'm curious, because you're talking micro lending, like, what are your thoughts about this?
I totally disagree about that not helpful statement. And here's why. Because I feel when you give someone just a grant, it's almost like free money, right? There's no skin in the game. And so when we were really researching what we wanted to build this program out to be, we thought, why don't we offer a non-traditional type of loan? Meaning it was not going to be something that was interest earning, meaning it was basically free money, but you needed to pay it back. And then the was that not only were we going to give you the money, we were going to give you the mentorship. So where you were weak or where we could see we could plug holes, that was where we thought the benefit would be to both parties. Not only would we get the funds back, but then you would accomplish what you needed. So for the first one that we did, she was fantastic. She had a great business, but she was kind of missing a lot of like the basic operational systems. Like she had money coming in from like, you know, Venmo, cash, PayPal, no accounting software, no entity structure, like just like insurance, like everything was just kind of like, but she was bringing in income. So what we were able to do was like place her with these amazing women that were in the same industry or tax professionals, insurance people. She was in the skincare field. So we were able to get some people that had the software that she needed to schedule. And so we were able to really work with her to plug these holes. And within probably 6 months or so, she had opened up location 2 and brought on like 5 more women that she had hired. And we're almost done getting our loan back, payback from her. And I think the idea of a micro loan is that, you know, it's a small amount of money. Usually ours are 5 to 15,000, depending on what you need. It's not like an overwhelming amount. Like to give someone $100,000, that's a huge bite. And most of the time when you're a startup and you're a female and you're on your own, you're a single mom, or, you know, a woman later in life trying to start a business, like you're not going to always have great credit or great resources or a lot of these traditional things that you would need to get your hands on, you know, money that wasn't 18% of an interest rate. And so that's really what we wanted to fill the void there. And I had, you know, when we had the idea of doing it, everyone was like, told me I was crazy. They're like, it'll never work. And I was like, you watch me, it'll work. And, you know, it had to work because we were going to make it work. But you know, grants versus loan is awesome because you do get skin in the game.
Right, right. If you have to pay it back, that makes a big difference. I think a lot of times, even when people have investors in their business, sometimes it can feel like a free-for-all with money and the way people hire. Because it's like, if that was your money, would you hire the same way? That's always what my question has been. Would you make the same choices? You know, would you spend money frivolously if it was your money versus someone else's money?
Well, and a lot of these other types of angel investors or investment, you know, programs, they do want ownership. Well, we didn't. Like, we're not here to profit off your business. We're genuinely just interested in helping you succeed and using our tools to help you get there with no string. I mean, there's literally no strings attached. We're really just looking for the right person that has what it takes to kind of cross that finish line. They're just missing those key elements. And you know, it's so far it's been really awesome. And I'm really looking forward to funding. I would like to do 2 this year. My board wants to just, every time I speak, they're like, just go sit in the corner. You and your backpacks and your loans. You're nuts, lady. But yeah, if I had it my way, we'd be doing two of them this year, but we'll see.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome though. That's awesome that you're even doing one of them. So congratulations to that. Cause that's, I think, wonderful. Yeah, absolutely. And so you've written a book, and what's the book about? What briefly can you tell us?
Yeah. So when I turned 40 in 2020, while the world was ending, I was like, I'm not going to sit here and just be like all up in my feelings as I'm teaching my children, you know, core mathematics. And so what kind of started off as this, you know, Women's Month moment where I would every day would post an amazing woman in my life and her photograph and some words on my Facebook page, which I was then like half mid-month, I was like, I think I'm writing a book. And so what I did is I wrote a book called Impact, and it's about the change makers and just wonderful women in my life that have helped me become the woman that I am today. And they're short stories from, you know, anyone from my grandmother, who was my inspiration for Sparkle, to my mother, to, you know, women I admire, mentors, etc. And it's just a cute little like coffee book. You know, it was something I always wanted to do, and I had a lot of fun with it.
That's really awesome. I think that for you, it sounds like nothing ever really holds you back. Or is there something I'm missing? Has anything ever held you back in life?
I think the biggest problem for me is that I tend to bite off more than I can chew. So like, as we've discussed, there's a lot of moving parts, and I enjoy being busy and I enjoy having a full plate. But as I get older, I'm like more interested in filling my buckets with things that genuinely bring me joy, that I actually like get something out of. Mine is just saying yes, because somebody asked me to do something. Right. So my biggest problem for myself is not saying no, or not making myself have a little bit more time respect for my time and the things I want to do. And, you know, by no means is it like been easy. I mean, there are definitely days where I'm like, what am I doing? You know, or, you know, you have a hard time with an employee, or you have, you know, horrible things happen to you in business, because that's just the way it goes. And, you know, you really got to get a thick skin and realize that this isn't about me. This is right. just about the situation. And as we all know, how we react is going to be, you know, how things get dealt with. So you got to learn a little bit. And I do not have it all figured out.
Right. I don't know who does. I don't think that happens, because really that's a subjective perspective anyways, that anybody would have anything figured out. It's not our job.
No. And like, what works for you isn't going to work for me, and isn't necessarily going to work for the situation at hand. So, you know, you got to give yourself grace, and you got to understand that, like, I think if we've all learned anything out of like being trapped at home for, you know, 18 months or whatever it was like, mm-hmm. do the things that bring joy to you, and do the things you want to do, and less right. of the things you do not want to do.
I totally agree with that, especially as you get older, because you realize time is shorter than you think it is. And I think a lot of us get caught up in, I don't want to say the drama, but, you know, you can get caught up in the drama of circumstances that you don't control, right? And I think a lot of times, you know, as women, because we in society are portrayed a certain way where, you know, we're supposed to take care of everything, right? We're supposed to do everything. And of course, this is a bias. This isn't actually reality to me. But, you know, for you, what is your perspective when it comes to successful females? Like, what do you feel about that? And let me just preface it with, there are two recent studies that I read that talked about how people, men and women, try to cut down successful female leaders. And I was like, still, we're still doing this shit. So anyways, what would you say to that?
I say it's, you know, our job to shift the narrative to that conversation, as women, and as grown ass women, as I like to say. I think that there are definitely two different types of, and I've got a 12-year-old daughter, and I'm explaining to her, because, you know, the girls are being mean. And I was like, listen, there's always going to be those girls, whether you're 12 or you're 42 or you're 85. Like, there are just two different types of people in this world. There are people that lift other people, and there are people that try to tear down these other people. And you want to be over here in this other group of lifting and doing, because that's what it's all about, and living a purposeful life. It wasn't until I turned 40 that I was just kind of looked the other way and go, you know what? I don't care. Like, I don't, if you don't like what I'm doing, that's fine. But I know that I'm out there touching thousands of lives every year and making an impact in my community and getting people to be involved. And that is what makes me feel good. So whatever you want to say about me, that's fine. I think it's interesting when you get people online that will say things about you, or, you know, or even if you're a business owner and they'll go on a Yelp or Glassdoor and, you know, do some stupid stuff. And it's like those things, yeah, they sting a little bit. And there's people that are always going to be trying to knock you down, but you just, I don't want to say like, you just got to brush it off, but you got to, there's a funny saying. It's like, if nobody's talking about you, you're not doing anything right.
Exactly. I know. I've heard that in the, if you don't have any negative like reviews or comments on your post, then that means that you're also, nobody knows you, but then you start to get that. But I actually have gotten into blocking people. So
people write stuff on our Instagram and they'll be like, well, she's just a blonde bimbo. And I'm like, first of all, who says bimbo? Like, what is that? And number two, like, are you even looking at what the hell I'm doing? Like, shut up. One of the times we had given a kid a bike whose bicycle was stolen, and it was this great moment. We were able to connect with local law enforcement. We got the kid the bike. It was this whole moment. And you should have seen, somebody was like, well, that bike doesn't have the right brakes for that age level of child. And I was like, oh, wow. Jesus, what is wrong with people?
Right.
I mean, you're never going to please them all, you know?
Never.
But you had said something that was really interesting. So I just got back from this 30-day journey that we recently purchased a house on the East Coast. So I had to go, and I was alone by myself for almost four weeks with no children, wow, no husband. Okay. Uh-huh. It took me 2.5 weeks to wake up. And finally I was sitting there one day. I go, oh my God, for the last 20 plus years, I have woken up every single day as you, as most women, and done something for somebody else, whether that was feed a dog, make a lunch, get somebody to school, you know, do this, do that, make payroll, all the things. And for the first time in my entire life, after 2.5 weeks, I had this aha moment with like, oh my God, like, this is insane. Like, to be able to take a moment, because we as women do everything all the time and we totally lose track of who the hell we are. So I was like, hey girl, I found this new 42-year-old best friend in me. I mean, it's, the moral of the story is like, not taking a month off is not realistic for anyone, even myself. Like, it was just, it was like the Willy Wonka golden ticket. But the realization of the fact that like, it's okay to not have to take on and do all the things all the time and to take a little bit of time for you. And as women, and especially as, you know, bosses and entrepreneurs in these different categories and hats we're all wearing, we don't take any time for ourselves, and we keep talking about it, but we're still not doing it.
No, I don't think that we are. And, you know, part of that goes back to society. And I think it's really interesting how, again, all these expectations, and what happens is we interject them into our brain, and then we hold ourselves up to expectations and standards that aren't realistic. And, you know, and I think that can create the craziness too, because you're constantly trying to strive for some form of perfection, which doesn't exist. And yet I think it takes women years, and some women never get there, to realize this. And it's really detrimental to your creativity, number one, because if I can be creative, that means I can take risks. That means that I can get out there and do something that's different than what I'm doing, and not, you know, I maybe have a little fear, but fear isn't going to hold me back, because I'm not thinking about all the people I might disappoint or upset, or, you know, whatever, or they have an opinion about it. What would you say to that?
I think that fear is a big thing, or the fear of what others may look and think about us. You know, when I did the post about being gone for 30 days, I was like, dude, some people are just going to think I'm an asshole. But then I was like, other people are going to be like, damn, girl, like, I wish I could do that. And I think that, you know, you put yourself out there in a way that, you know, is comfortable for you, whatever that is. And, you know, I think that society has ruined a lot of us. Mm-hmm. You know, and these expectations of what we all should be doing, right? Yeah. And and what we're not doing, and we don't look this way, and we don't act this way, and we're not, you know, having these types of conversations and all this. And I think at the end of the day, I think it comes back to what's bringing you joy, what's giving you purpose, and, you know, how you want to fill your time. I think it is kind of what I have to say. And to all the noise, there's always noise. You just got to filter it out and kind of full steam ahead.
I would agree with that 100%. I never really am one who's bought into it, but I have had moments, especially when I was in corporate, where I would, because I'm pretty assertive, or some people would have called me aggressive. Some people actually told me that I should have been born with a dick.
Oh, so, okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. Yeah. What you want to hear. This was several years ago, but, you know, so you always have that sort of chatter in your head, like, oh, maybe I'm too much, or maybe I'm not doing this right, or I just said something. How many people did I offend? Holy crap, everybody's going to think I'm a jerk, you know. And it's really getting out of that that makes a difference, because in reality, none of these other people care so much as you care about what happens in your own life. It's 100%. Like you're not living your life.
But then also think about how long it took you to become the woman that you are now, where you're like, you know what? I don't really care. And it wasn't until, I mean, I've always kind of been like, I don't really care, but I've also been aware of like knowing my audience and knowing which Samantha needs to show up for, whether it's insurance or this or that or whatever. And now I don't know if it was like a 40 thing. I don't know if it was like a COVID like rev or whatever the case is. I don't really care anymore. Like, I'm going to show up. I'm going to be unapologetically me, because that's why I've gotten to where I am in this life, is because I am authentic and transparent. And you want to talk about things, let's talk about it. And, you know, sometimes it might be an uncomfortable conversation, but you know what? Like, that's why I have the people around me that I do. And if we're not for those people, that's okay too. Right? Because there's plenty of people I don't want to hang out with. I'm not into.
Right.
And you know, when you get to be a grown up, you get to make those decisions on who you want to surround yourself with.
Right? Yes, I am totally in agreement with you. I just think it's funny because it all sounds good. And for some people listening, they're like, God, that sounds great. I'd love to get there. But you know, they have a lot of obstacles that are all in their head. And really it is all in your head, because I tend to look at things as though, okay, we have certain obstacles outside of us, right? We live in a more patriarchal society. After all, they pretty much designed it. And, you know, we sort of fit in wherever. And, you know, and is it something that you're going to allow to hold you back? Or are you going to look at and go, I'm not even going to pay attention to this, which was how I was for most of my life. Like, that doesn't even enter into what my focus is. But it seems like nowadays it's just right here. It's everywhere that, you know, we have this, okay, women, you know, we've got a lead. But getting to my point is, oftentimes I have seen that women have a hard time getting along with other women when it comes to being at the top of an organization. You know, there always seems to be some kind of crazy infighting, or, you know, things that men don't actually do when it's all men at the top, where, you know, a woman might go on social media, she belongs to an organization, she's ripping the organization apart for her perceived, you know, wrong that they've done, right? And it's at that top level where it's all women, and it just seems like women, you know, once again, do women really like each other? Do they really support each other? Because you read the comments and all these women are just like throwing arrows and going, oh my God, blah, blah, blah. And it doesn't help anybody. It doesn't help women move forward. So
no, but I think the majority of people, honestly, or at least the majority of women that I surround myself with, we don't have time for those girls. Like those are the girls until I'm a 12-year-old. Like, girl, they're always going to be there, and they're always going to be throwing grenades, and that's fine. But I think, and I say this to my kids all the time, people only behave the way that you allow them to treat you. Right. So if you say, you know what, Tracy, we're not going to have this is not the way we have dialogue. If you want to speak to me, this is how we're going to speak. Or, you know, if somebody's making, I had the conversation with a client the other day who was just being rude. And I was like, listen, bud, like maybe today's not a good day for you, and that's okay. But you got to set the table for how you want to, you know, have your meal. And I think that people that behave like that are allowed to behave like that. And that's why it continues until somebody steps in the room and says, listen, this is, you know, there's plenty of seats at the table for all of us. And like, we need to be banding arms and like walking together. And, you know, what works for you is not going to maybe work for me, but we can find some common ground where we can all, you know, forge forward. And right. I think that's the way we raise the next generation.
Right.
Because we don't need to compete with each other. We've already done that, right? That's old news.
Yeah, it is old news. I mean, it's old news, like the 1500s, the, you know, 1000s, like we're talking, you know, generations going all the way back. Okay.
Yeah. We've never done that, ladies. Yeah, we've got to do better for each other now.
Right. We're not property anymore. We don't have to have a dowry is my point.
Yeah.
You know, like we can do it on our own. Okay.
I think the dowry should be going to the women that have to take on these men, you know, right. It should be a flip of the coin.
I know. So Samantha, I have really enjoyed our conversation today. This has been a lot of fun for me and I love listening to you and I love your energy. So it's been awesome. So what would you say to women out there that feel they're proactive, but yet there's something holding them back from either really being themselves or going after what they truly want? Like there's a fear, right? Like I built a career. Holy crap. This isn't really a career I want. Oh God, I want to do something else. Like what would you say to these women that are basically, you know, stuck in a little bit of fear?
I would say, get out of bed, sit on the edge of your bed. And the first thing I always do every day is I go pick out my pair of shoes. That's kind of like my power move. So pick out your best pair of shoes, whatever that is. It could be a tennis shoe. It could be a power pump. Put your shoes on and get up and walk out one foot in front of the other. And if it doesn't feel right, do it again the next day and keep doing it. And every single day, just keep stepping forward. Because even if you fall into a, you know, pothole or you land face first, you know what? You'll be able to pick yourself back up and like dust yourself off and move forward. And you can't be like held back if you don't try.
Right. I love that. Yep. It's true. It's like, you got to just keep busting through. As I say, it's like, just keep moving forward. So
you have to. Yes. Do it.
Yeah, absolutely. So Samantha, if someone's interested in, you know, the variety of things you have going on, you need some insurance or, you know, you want to contribute to the nonprofit or you just want to chat with Samantha, where can they find you?
Very simply, SamanthaTredelius.com. I tried to make it as easy as possible because my last name is hard enough, right? All the things are there. It links to the Sparkle site, links to the podcast. It links to, I have a monthly S list where I showcase three female brands each month, which is kind of something fun I like to do. So all of that can be found at SamanthaTredelius.com.
I love that. Well, thank you, Samantha, for joining me. And thank you, everybody, for joining us today. And if you have any questions, you know where to find Samantha. And you know where to find me, too. Take care. I'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining today. For more information on Tracy and her programs and to set up a discovery session, email business@tracycrossley.com. That's business@tracycrossley.com. And go to tracycrossley.com to get your free download entitled Stop Your Inner Dictator. Thank you for tuning in to Earned Wisdom for Accomplished Female Leaders.